Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was sure.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. We're right back here on another Blog Talk Radio broadcast, and I'm your host, Dr. J.O. Robinson, and we are shouting the praises of God today.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah.
And you're probably in the background. We've got some people here so excited that they electrified me before we came on the broadcast.
Yes.
And you can see me, I've come out the gate already.
Amen.
Praise God. With praises on my lip and joy in my heart.
Bless
because
Lord.
This is the day that the Lord hath made,
thank
and
you.
We will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care
hallelujah.
What you're going through, what you've been through, and what you think you might be going through. I'm telling you that this is the day that the Lord hath made. Kick
yes.
the devil out the house. Kick
yes.
him off the porch. Kick
yes.
him out of wherever
yes.
he is. Get him out of your life. Because the
day
that the Lord hath made is a day to rejoice.
Yes.
It's a day of being glad.
Yes.
And we just wanted to tell you that today. I know I can hear some of you bloggers out there and some of you guys listening live saying, but you don't know what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It doesn't matter. I've always told you and you've always heard me use this cliche. The good news is that the bad news is wrong. So here we are today. We've got some beautiful people with us all the way from Plant City. You know my wife is with me, Marlon J. Robinson. And then we've got some of our best friends, amen, in the world, coming all the way from Plant City, Florida, by way of Tampa, for those of you who don't know what Plant City is. But anyway.
Because it is the largest, the place where the largest amount of strawberries are grown anywhere in the United States and blueberries.
Yeah.
Anywhere in the United States of America.
In the winter. It's the winter strawberry capital.
There we go.
So I want to tell you, I don't care what your winter is today. I don't care what storm you're going through. It may seem like it's wintertime, but we've got good news for you. God can bless you in the wintertime.
Amen.
Amen. This is our dear friends, Penny, Tim and Penny Fuller. I was going to get a lady the homage first, but the man is the head, so
yeah.
It's no reflection of my statement. But Tim and Penny Fuller, who are of Extreme Ministries there in Plant City. Good morning.
Good morning. We're so glad to be here.
Amen.
We've just been rejoicing since we've been here.
Amen. And they have been rejoicing. They've been ministering to Marla and I, and we've been just shouting and praising God.
Amen.
They've given us another dose of the Holy Ghost. They've injected us with a whole bunch of good stuff. They've been telling us, praying for us, sharing with us, encouraging us, edifying us, building us back up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like the scripture tells us, exhorting one another. And as much as we see the day approaching, they've been exhorting us and blessing us, and they are always a blessing to us. And we just thank God for them being with us today. Look, we're getting ready. I want them to just tell you a little bit of who they are and what Extreme Ministries and how it started and what their accomplishments are and where they're headed.
Yes. Well, we started Extreme about, maybe almost 10 years ago. We've had some difficulties with family health has kind of slowed us down a little bit, but we really started it mainly to reach out to the prisons and the streets, you know. That's where our heart is. I mean, we love the church and the pulpits, but we also have a special heart for the poor and the needy and going to the people, you know, that can't come to you.
Yeah.
And that's really just a burden and a heart that the Lord has given us. And We call it Extreme Ministries International because we have a vision and a desire to see it spread even across the United States, just like this broadcast here can go anywhere in the world. And we didn't want to limit God, and we didn't, want to put any name on him that somebody might think he's limited. We just want everybody to know, no matter where you're at, God can get to you.
Yes.
This is my wife, Penny. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Penny. I'm Tim's wife, and it's a blessing to be here today. It's a blessing. I met Pastor Jerry over 20 years ago, and he and two other godly men came to a home meeting that I was at and in Dothan, Alabama. And I thought three angels walked in the door. So annoying. So I just want you to know Pastor Jerry's been anointed for a long time. And he's been serving God for his whole life. And I just praise God for him. And the Lord just worked it out through our friend in Dothan that she encouraged my mom and I to call and speak with them, and God just reconnected us over a year ago.
Amen.
And we're just so blessed, and we are just such good friends. And I had never had the chance to meet his wife, and we've just become just the best friends. I just love.
That's our
we're
besties, everybody. You know,
okay. I love my Mara.
BFL people.
Okay. And we're just so blessed to be here.
Amen. And we are so blessed for you being here. And for those of you who listen to us in the archives, you probably remember a while back last year that we did a segment and an episode on Is Healing for Today? Mm-hmm. And Ms. Penny Fuller was one of our special guests on that podcast.
Yes, that's what we were
And we were there with them in Plant City. So they reciprocated. They came back to give us, amen, the visit here in a good old Allen, Texas, by way of Dallas.
Yes.
But we are so glad that they are here. And we want to share with you today from their hearts and our hearts, amen, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning his faithfulness.
Yes.
That's what we came to say. We came to just encourage those of you who are out there. Now, I just said a few minutes ago, I heard some of you guys saying, well, what about me? You forgot about what you started when you said that the good news is that the bad news is wrong, and I told you you didn't know how I was hurting. Well, I do know how you're hurting, but I want you to know something today, friend. And I know some of you, I feel you today. Some of you have lost your loved ones, somebody that was very dear to you. Some of you are in the middle of a crisis in terms of divorce. Some of you are going through a family trauma. Some of you are even talking about suicide, and some of you are hurting in the areas. I'm feeling you today. Some of you are hurting in the areas. You don't know what this relationship is like. You don't know what is happening with me, with all of the things that are going around me in my job. You don't understand. It's just so many things that are tying me down. My mother is in turmoil. My father's in turmoil. My children are just about to drive me crazy. I feel you today, friend.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something. I want to let you know that Jesus is still Lord over all the problems that you face in life.
All the problems.
And he is faithful and true.
Yes.
I told you on the last podcast that in Philippians 1:6, he says this. He says, for he being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, notice what I said. He didn't say you would perform it. He said he would perform it.
He would.
And that's what, so many of us are trying to perform today. And that was the problem with the Pharisees in the days of Jesus. They were performers.
Religious.
They would not allow God to be what he could be to them because they wanted to be the ones on the stage performing. Mm-hmm. And nothing wrong with being on stage, but let Jesus wants to do the performing through you. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that wants to perform. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to show out in your life. I'm going to say that one more time. Our announcer always says, 5 seconds before showtime. But I want to tell you something. The Lord says, it's showtime.
Yeah.
And he wants to show out for you. Whatever that situation is today, I don't care how critical that crisis may seem.
Amen.
I want you to know that Jesus wants to show out for you. He wants to perform for you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 107, he sent his word, and healed them. That means he sent his word and performed his act. Jeremiah said that his word was like a hammer, but he sent it to crack up stuff and to perform his word. He said, he told Jeremiah, don't say that I'm a young man, and don't say that you can't talk. He said, I have sent you as a prophet to the nations, and he said, I am going to perform my word through you. And I can feel a shot coming in this area right here in this studio. Amen. But I tell you something, you know what? The same God that did it for Jeremiah, the same God that did it for those guys who were in crisis, like the three Hebrew boys and Daniel, who was in the lion's den, who was told not to pray. And the Bible says that he said, I'm not just going to pray. And I'm not going to pray in secret. He said, I'm going up and I'm going to defy everybody who told me not to, who made this law appeal not to pray. I'm going up to the window so you can see me. I'm not going to hide. Amen. Tell somebody, look at somebody and say, don't hide.
Don't hide.
Amen. God wants to show himself strong regardless of what the crisis may be, whatever the devil is telling you. He says, don't do that ministry. He's saying, don't believe me for that job. Don't believe me for that healing. Don't believe me. And you ought to open up your window and tell the devil, I'm opening up my window and I'm telling everybody that I'm healed. I'm opening up my window and I'm telling everybody that I'm prosperous. I'm opening up, praise God. I'm opening up my door and telling them that's a new door that's open for me.
A new door.
Okay, I'm going to come back now.
When the Lord shows, what you were saying, when the Lord is coming and he's sending his word, basically means he's showing up. Mm-hmm. He shows up.
Amen.
And when he shows up, he never goes anywhere without blessing, being provided, having them right there in his hands to give out to the people of God, because he loves us so much to give out to the believers. And like he said earlier, the man of God said earlier, yeah, there may be some trials, some tribulations, but know this, Romans 8:28 says, and we know. See, there are some things we just got to know. We have to come to an understanding. We have to have we have to be personable. We have to be intimate with knowing that, and we know that all things, we talked about the word things last week, which is all words, all things work together for good. To them that love God and to those who are the called, well, whom he called, it goes on to say in the other parts of Romans 8, either 28, 29, or 30, he also did predestinate.
Mm-hmm.
He and whom he predestinated, he chose, he formed, and he made sure that we would understand and know in Jesus' name what his will would be for us in our lives. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. So I'm looking at the fellows and they're looking at me like, okay, when is my turn? Yeah, and I say something.
We just enjoy it. We just enjoy it.
go ahead.
Well, I just want to encourage everybody that's listening. And, you know, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about all the stuff we've been through because we've been through it.
We're
just like everybody else. You know, we've been through it. And some people have a misconception, and the devil maybe you thought when you came to the Lord, and maybe you didn't have problems till you came to the Lord. Well, the devil will lie to you and think because you're going, he'll tell you because you're going through all this, you either missed it, you got sin in your life, or God's not with you, and that's not true. And we all kind of create some problems for ourselves sometimes, but that's life, and we have to get over that. You know, God has forgiven you. You've confessed it, and you forgive. And God has forgiven you, and you've got to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get over yourself, because God's ability to bless you is not based on how good you are. He's done it already.
Hallelujah.
He died for you while you were yet sinners.
Yeah.
How much more is he going to work for you and do things for you and with you now that you're his child?
Yeah.
And Penny and I, we both came from broken homes. We divorced, and God, you know, it was a terrible time. You know, neither one of us wanted to be divorced, and and we had to go through. We didn't have to, but the Lord allowed us to go through that. We became a blended family. I had two children. She had two boys. I had a boy and a girl. We got through that. We didn't have two nickels to rub together forever. It seemed like everything we made, the devil stole it. And So we endured through that and you know, trusted God, and
yes.
We missed it sometimes. We didn't do everything right, but but God brought us right back.
Like we all do.
And then we rocked on and dealt with the the exes. And you know, I'm not speaking out against any exes, but how many? If you have a blended family, you know that there is a lot of potential for trouble. Just the situation alone creates.
Yes.
You know, issues, and you've got to really stay focused on the Lord and keep your kids, you know, you got to make it about teaching the Lord to your kids, and there's just a whole bunch of things that you can get off track, and you can start living and reacting to all the things around you. But the Lord would want you to not react, but he wants you to walk in peace.
Yes.
And stay with the Lord and act. Because, see, when you react, that means somebody else is dictating your actions.
That's right.
If somebody cuts you off on the highway and you react and you lay on the horn and get right up on their bumper and you're trying to make a statement, you know, and get by them and stare them down and pass them back, see, now that person has just, you have allowed that person to control your actions.
I didn't know you were talking about me this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I need to repent, don't I? I need to be there.
So I just encourage you to just stay with the Lord and take your comfort in who you are in the Lord. And even if people are mistreating you and doing things wrong, God sees it. He knows, and he's building character in you.
Yes.
We've been through a lot. We just real quickly, you know, in 2009, we had the death of my son, and it was a car accident. He had, and that Sunday morning, that very morning, he really got saved to the bone. He gave his heart to the Lord. He gave his heart to the Lord at 11:30, 12 o'clock, and he had passed on and went to heaven at 2 o'clock that afternoon. And that was really a gift to us that it kind of went that way. And even though he passed, we were full of so much peace and had so much assurance that he's waiting for us in heaven.
Yes.
And we know that he don't want to come back.
Amen.
If you ever get to heaven, my grandmother used to tell me all the time, if you get to heaven, whenever somebody gets to heaven, trust me, they don't want to come back.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I had a lady that used to work for my grandmother that said she passed away, and I remember we were at a funeral, and she would tell us the story that she passed away.
Amen.
And she was going to heaven, and she said, now, her name was Inez, wonderful woman of the Lord. She said, now, Inez, you can't stay. You got to go back because your daughter's going to need you. And she says, no, Lord, no, I don't want to go back. She said, no. She said, you're going to come back later, but for now, you got to go back and help your daughter out. And she kind of argued with the Lord. But she wanted to stay.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Like we even do now.
So she went back, and then she, later on that year, her daughter needed her, and she knew that the Lord was talking to her. Now, go ahead, you share some stuff. I don't want to talk.
Amen.
Great job.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for being here, and I want to thank God for my God's help.
Amen.
We applaud that. Amen. Marla.
I just want to say all the things that we've been through. Thank God we were able to go through together.
Amen.
And I praise God that he's a godly man, and he loves God, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. And that we've been best friends. We started out as friends.
Yeah.
And I encourage that. You know, that marry somebody you can be best friends with, because love is a choice.
Yes.
Okay? People think you fall into love. Well, you might fall into love at first, but then after the honeymoon, okay, after the first month of marriage, okay,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're coming in with a blended marriage situation and blended family, you are under attack from every side. And in that situation, Tim had a lot of wisdom, and I thank God for that, that he chose when he made decisions. He said, I need to talk to my wife.
Yes.
And he wouldn't let, and he didn't react to situations.
Yes.
We
Most of the time. There was a few times I reacted. There was a couple times I wanted to really react.
He held his peace, and he had a lot of wisdom, and he would sit back and he would look at the situation, and it kept us from a lot of trouble that we could have made. And I praise God for that.
Well, the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath.
Yes.
And even in your daily work, you know, at work, and even in your marriage, hello.
Yes.
If you return an answer, a rebuke or a rebuttal with a rebuke or rebuttal, it just snowballs.
Yes.
But if you'll sit back and diffuse the situation with a gentle answer,
yes,
not react, but you act, then it starts bringing clarity and understanding those situations.
Yeah.
You know what that's called? That's called being a peacemaker.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we can cause more turmoil in our lives.
Yes, we can.
By not being at peace.
Yes.
And becoming the peace in the situation, mm-hmm. We can cause more calamity. And that's what I'm hearing today. If you're trying to understand why we are saying these things and why we just came out of a marriage conference, so, and we began to, I tell you all the time on the podcast, these episodes are not scripted.
That's
and
right.
We don't come in per se really
with an
agenda. Sometimes we come with an outline, but if we sense that the Spirit of the Lord is moving in a direction,
there we go.
Then this is what we're doing. We're digging at you today, friend. I don't know who you are. And I don't know what type of situation you're faced with, what type of family situations that you are dealing with today. But we want you to know that if you're in a blended situation, this is a major issue in the United States of America and around the world.
Half the marriages.
Yeah. That's right. That is a percentage.
Yeah.
Half of the marriage.
More and more in the church, too.
Right.
And it's a good thing. I mean, you know, God doesn't want you, if you're a single mom or a single dad, he doesn't want you to think you can't, you know, that you can't remarry. And don't listen. We had friends tell us that we already missed God's best.
Yeah.
And we had to have God's second best. That's a lie from the devil.
Yes.
And you got to use some wisdom. And you got to be careful.
Yes.
But you got, you know, God still has a plan and a purpose
Amen.
For you.
Exactly.
And your family and your kids.
And you know, this has been the onslaught of the enemy, is to destroy the family.
Amen.
It was from day one, even with our great 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 granddaddy and grandmother, Adam and Eve. His onslaught was to destroy that family unit that was in the garden. First it was with the man and the woman, and then it was with the children out of the union. The enemy's job was to make them dysfunctional.
Amen.
And so this is what the enemy is seeking to do right here in this age that we're living. He hasn't changed. His tactics are still the same. He wants us dysfunctional. He does not desire for us to be as a blended one family or family unit, period. And you know what? I don't even want to hear the word blended.
Amen.
Right. Because some of you, you know, labels are from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
And when I say, we use that to identify, but the bottom line is it's a family.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time.
Amen.
The bottom line is that it is family. It doesn't, see, we want people to labor us. God doesn't look at us being blend. He looks at us as being family. He doesn't look at us as being black and white and green and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm getting ready to preach. But it just means he looks at us as being one. Jesus said, Lord, make them one as we are one. He just, and it doesn't matter what type of background, what ethnicity, what nationality you come out of, you are considered a part of the body of Christ. Now, the only way we can identify each other in this life is by personality, skin tone, names, whatever. But the bottom line is we are all one in the body of Christ. Families are one. So I want to dismiss the word blended.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say,
I got to tell you, I agree with you, man of God, but we got to always remember that at times when we look, you know that this Sister Robinson, you all, everybody know I'm going to go to Webster or I'm going to go to one of the thesauruses. There are words that can help us. And in the Christian community, you're right. In the church, we shouldn't look at it as being blended because what blend for the stronger. And there's so many different definitions for the word blend, but the one that would coincide with blend for us would be to, praise God, that would coincide would be to produce a harmonious effect. Or it also would be, which is the definition for blend, another one would be to mingle intimately.
Amen.
And I got to tell you, then there's, and all of those are verbs, and we know verbs mean to be. And then there's a blend that's a noun. And now that noun blend is something produced. And that's what a lot of times the world wants to try to produce us, to make us, to put us into a category hither or a category thither. It's also a group of a product that's prepared by blending, by mixing. So we know we're cooks, all those of us that cook. Whenever I always hear people say about blended, immediately what comes to my mind, because I'm a female and I do know how to cook, yes, ma'am, and sir, you want to blend something, you want to mix it together, and that's fine. But then there are some things that when we cook as cooks, and Penny knows this, that we can blend together, don't always work out. It just doesn't. But when we allow the harmonious effect of what God is doing in and through us, as He's called us to be one in Him, to just accept that and receive that, then we know that blend is all right.
And you know, speaking of that word, as you shared, blending, but if we want to say blending, I want to say back, let's go back to the original word that we used in our confession of faith, since we're talking about God being faithful.
Yes, yes.
And the word actually confession is taken from the Greek word homologio.
There we go.
Which we have the word, and which is somewhat of blending, we get the word homogenized. And that means that we are of the same nature.
Yes.
Butter is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
The cream rises to the top and the best things go to the bottom, but the bottom line is it homogenizes. It comes to a solid. So what happens is, in the process of that, is those things that are coming together become one.
Amen.
And so our confession is one with the Lord. That's what we've been talking about in our confession of faith.
Yes.
That we are saying the same thing. And so, if you want to look at it from that perspective of blend, but what I'm saying is I'm cutting out blend because we are all in the same confession.
Yes, that are in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
We are all in the same faith.
Yes.
And for those of you who are in the body of Christ, and I'm not talking about, well, let's use the word blended for the secular society, but let's talk about homologio for the spiritual society, that our confessions are all the same. So family in the believing camp is the same thing.
Yes.
We are all family here. And so, what I said, what we said last podcast on when we were dealing with the confession of faith, is not only should we be able to homogenize, but we should also be able to synthesize.
All right.
What is synthesis? What is that process? That is like ebony and ivory.
Keyboards
on the and you know, we have to play the keys. We play the keys of life.
All right.
Black and white.
Yes.
Two opposites blending together, homogenizing to make harmony.
Amen.
And you know, in this marriage conference, we found out a whole lot about synthesizing, because we knew that we were opposites. Marla asked, can you believe that Marla asked the question to me in the marriage conference? She said, Jerry, are we different? I looked at her and I said, Marla, you're a female and I'm a male. Anyway. And so synthesizing means that opposites come together to make harmony.
Amen.
Even though that keyboard has different keys, different tones, different sounds. And though colors are not the same. But yet, when a skillful person who plays a synthesizer puts those chords together, they make harmony.
Yes.
And God, and that's what blending is. God wants us to be harmonious.
Yes.
He wants us to blend. He wants, and because of that, how does He do that? He does that, as we shared in the earlier part of the podcast. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, not separating yourselves, not in division, but exhorting one another.
Yes.
In as much as you see the day approaching. And that's what we came to do today on the podcast, friend.
Yes.
We came to exhort you. We came to let you know that you have hope.
Amen.
And the reason why you have hope is what we're going to go into the podcast on today in these next 29 minutes is God is faithful.
Amen.
He is so true to his word. Not only is he faithful, but he is true. And that same scripture that we use was in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9.
Yeah.
In that particular passage of scripture, we find the Apostle Paul addressing the situation about God's faithfulness. And this is what he says. Listen very attentively. He says, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. But he says some things up there, and we talked about this last week. He says some things above that. He goes through the salutation from verse 1, and we pick up the salutation as he salutes these guys that are in Corinthians. And then, you know, I told you about the Corinthian church. They were a wild bunch. You know, they were a very unruly bunch. They were very spiritual. They were very uppity type class of tongue talkers, miracle workers, devil casting out people. But yet they had some real issues. And so, look, let me tell you something, friend. You are spiritual.
Yes.
And as my brother Tim told you earlier, because you don't do everything quite right does not mean that God is upset at you, angry, mad, and so much in disarray that he wants to punish you to the uttermost. God is gracious. He's faithful. And watch what Paul says. He goes on to talk to these Corinthians, and he says that in everything in verse 5, that ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And you know, we talked about the word confirmed last week. And watch what he says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is faithful also, who shall also confirm you unto the end. Now here we go. You know, we talked about confirm last week. He's confirming us. We have the ministry of confirmation, you know.
Yes.
Mm. Hallelujah. Until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Friend, he's not holding anything over your head. I don't care what you did yesterday.
Yes.
I don't care what you did just 15 minutes ago.
Amen.
He is so... This is my point about the confirmation. Jesus died for every sin that you ever would ungodly commit. So he's not holding condemnation over you. That's why he's so faithful.
Yes.
Because he is true to what he has done.
Amen.
He died on that cross.
Amen.
He was crucified. He went through the suffering, the turmoil. He went through all of the disgrace that you and I should have suffered just because he wanted you to know that your sins, all of them, are forgiven.
Amen.
And we have this in our confession of faith. See, the reason why most people can't make a confession is because they think, well, you know, I didn't do right yesterday. I'm going back to my confession. I know that I'm supposed to be making this confession, but, you know, I just lived a horrible life yesterday, and I just don't want to do it. Let me tell you something, friend. It is a privilege. It is a joy to go back and look at the confession that God has given us. He wrote an eternal edict. And that edict said, you are forgiven.
Yes.
He passed a law. He made a covenant
that
your sins have been blotted out.
Yes.
So I want you to get out of...
With blood.
Amen. Now, why did you say that? Stop. Anyway, amen. That's so true. Sister, First Lady Robinson, one of you said, he sealed it with his blood. In other words, he signed it with an unerasable ink. It is permanent. It is forever and everlasting. It cannot change. As a matter of fact, it cannot be blotted out or either pushed away. It is forever. And the Hebrew writer went on to say that he said, you know what? I'm going to confirm it. He said, when I could swear by no other. I tell you what, I just swear by myself because I am God. Amen. So that's why his faithfulness is for you today. And so this is why we came to tell you on this podcast that you don't have to be concerned about your faithfulness. Because we blow it a lot of times.
Amen.
I didn't say sometimes.
Yes.
I said we blow it a lot of times. And because we think that our faithfulness dismisses us from being blessed, I want to tell you today that it has nothing to do with you altogether. Amen. Now, God wants us to be faithful, but his faithfulness has surpassed our faithfulness.
Yeah.
And so he says, you know what, even though you missed it yesterday, your sins have been forgiven forever.
Amen.
I'm going to stay faithful to you.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like good shouting news. You know, as a matter of fact, I feel like getting out of this seat right now and running up and down the street there and shouting to everybody that God is faithful and true.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen, I couldn't agree with you more, and I want to talk to somebody about their, you know, we as Christians and we as people, we don't like to go through stuff.
Okay.
See, Jesus had to suffer and had to go through the things he did because it produced fruit, and it produced the fruit of salvation. Before the foundations of the world, God knew that we were going to need a Savior. So he went through the things he did and went to the cross, went to hell and stole the keys from the devil himself and ascended so that it would be done for eternity and that we would have a way of salvation. And not only salvation, because we're going to spend an eternity with him, but he also took stripes for our healing. And he accomplished a lot in that. And I want to tell somebody there today, We pray that God delivers us out of things. And my wife and I have been through a lot, and we have learned that we've gone through things, and God has delivered us and helped us through things.
Yeah.
And so when you got to go through some things, you're going to learn some stuff, and you're going to lose some flesh, and you're going to lose some stuff that you need to lose. There's some of y'all are losing some things, and some of you need to lose them. You need to lose some of your friends.
Amen.
Some of your,
some
stuff you need to lose,
stuff.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had to deal with it. And we would never hope or pray that anybody would have to go through some of the things we've had to go through, but God has allowed us to go through these things. And we're going through some things right now, and we know it's we have a peace and we have a comfort, and we know who we believe in. Our confidence is in him. Now we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen the manifestation of a lot of these things, but we are at peace as we are going through these things because we know God has already done and already set into motion some things for us, and we are going through them. So when you pray, it's okay to be delivered out of some things if you need to be delivered out of them.
And we've
been delivered out of some stuff.
But
we've had to go through
some
stuff.
We've had to go through a lot of
things. Go ahead.
Okay.
Preach it, sister.
You know, what comes to my mind is two scriptures, and it leads us right into the one that we were exactly going to minister a little bit on in the beginning of the podcast. But one of these scriptures is in Hebrews chapter 4, and it's in verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Yes.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." And you know what? There are a lot of infirmities in the land.
Oh, yes.
But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. But the verse that we wanted to key in on was in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, but starting with verse 12, that says this: "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." For he says, there hath no temptation. There's no test. And this is what Tim was talking about. Brother Tim was talking about. He said, there is no temptation. There is no time of testing that's taken you, but it's such as is coming to man. But God is faithful. This is what he was saying. He said, I'm still going through. He said, but I can see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
He says, God is, and this is what Paul says. He says, I might be in a Philippian jail right now. He says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tried or tempted above that ye are able. You know what you said, but Brother Robinson, you don't understand. This pressure is so much on me that I just can't take it. And I just don't know what I'm going through. Okay, friend. I've cried just like you. I've had tears just like you. We've had trials just like you. We understand what you're feeling. Look, we're not the supermen and the superwomen of the secular world, but we are supernaturally children of God. And so we don't live in the natural as such. We live in the supernatural.
Amen.
And so therefore we know that the supernatural God that made us supernatural has given us supernatural power. But that power, without that, we would just be mere mortals. We could not be able to, we wouldn't be able to endure the times of testing and trials and the hurt and the pain, and the trauma and the troubles of life. But he did not give us something that we were not able to bear. The Bible goes on to say that, but with the temptation of the time of testing, as Brother Tim said, also make a way to escape, that you will be able to bear it. He's working something out for you right now. As a matter of fact, he's got you in the mix.
Yeah. He's setting you up.
It's a setup.
He's setting you up for a blessing.
Amen. Hallelujah. Did you not know you were in a setup? Did you not know that this was actually designed just for you? You always like designer clothes. I mean, you like designer things. And you know, that, tell me somebody that doesn't like a tailored suit. Tell me somebody that doesn't like a tailored dress.
All right.
God says, I'm going to give you a tailored time of testing. I'm going to give you a tailored time of, of blessing. But you got to go through something here. You know how you tell your children, say, now,
if you do this.
I'm going to get you a lollipop, or I'm going to bless you.
Fruity.
Yes. And so God says, if you will just stand there and believe me, there's always something on our part, you know.
Yes.
He said, if you'll just trust me, I will be
faithful.
I will be faithful.
Yes.
Amen.
Because he said, I am faithful.
True.
And I am true. So it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how you feel. And I know you said, but Brother Robinson, you're not sensitive to my feelings.
I am.
I'm sensitive to where you hurt. That's why we're ministering to that area. We want to pour in into that wound the oil and the wine. We want to take the sting out. We want to take the hurt out.
Amen.
We want to, you know, they ministered to me. Let me be candid with you. I was being ministered to last night by my dear friends Tim and Penny.
We both.
And Marla and I. And they said, Brother Robinson, you have a lot of hurts. I said, who, me? Mr. Prophet? Mr. Man of God? Mr. Jerry O'Neill Robinson? They said, yeah, we can see it. I said, you can? Amen. Sometimes, you know, people who really love us, they tell us the truth.
Real friends.
Real friends tell you the truth about.
Yes.
And yes, friend, I have been hurt.
Yes.
Yes, friend, I was hurting. And yes, friend, I needed to be ministered to. And yes, friend, they opened up the wound. They said, it's going to hurt a little bit. They opened up the wound. They said, we're cleaning it out.
Yes.
It's gonna sting a little bit, but we're getting ready to pour in the oil and the wine. Because what is going to happen to you when we get through with this is that God is not going to leave any cicatrices. He's not going to leave a scar. He's going to heal it so and make it so smooth as if it was never there. And boy, when they got through ministering to me, I felt like running through a troop and leaping over a wall. And that's why I can come to you today with such excitement and such enthusiasm and saying that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Did I go through anything? Of course I did. Was I hurt to the bone?
Amen.
Was I feeling? Of course. But when they got finished with me, they put me on the hospital. They put me on the hospital table, and they went to operating on me. They said, "Scalpel, nice sharpening," and they went to cut him. And they said, "Oh yeah, don't dig too deep there, but yeah, just pull that out. Oh yeah." And then they said, "Now let's sew him up." And when they put me back together,
with love, sitting,
amen. And
kindness.
They did it in love.
Yes, Lord.
Have you heard the old cliche, Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and that's how some of you feel.
Yeah.
And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. But you know what? God is the only one that can pick up the broken pieces in your life and put them back together as if they had never been broken.
Yes.
You can't be put back together. You don't have to fall out of life's back door. You don't have to jump out of life's back door. Friend, you can be put back together again.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
And everybody was in here going, yeah. There we go. Holla. You know. Amen. It was precious.
And that's why people look at other people that have been put back together, and they think they don't have no problems. They ain't been through nothing.
Right.
That's how good a job God does.
Hallelujah.
You look like something when you're done.
Hallelujah.
And the world goes, hey, he ain't got no problems.
Yes.
That's because the Lord has healed us.
Oh, he is faithful.
People say, well, he makes you, he doesn't make you like you were before. He makes you better.
Yeah.
Better than you were before.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Thank God.
Yeah.
He takes what we are and what he made.
Yes, he does.
He makes us more like him. I thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And lately, what the Lord's been doing in Tanai has been emptying us of our desires and our hopes. And we've asked God to just empty us and to make us into exactly what God would have us to be.
Yes.
And, you know, that can be a cliche, or it can be real.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's true.
Okay.
All right.
Some people say this stuff, and I've said it, and but I'm telling you right now, it's real.
It's real.
It's a real thing.
Yes.
When you can empty yourself and say, God, it's all about you.
Yes.
My destiny is in you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My hope is in you. Mm-hmm. What I need doesn't matter, because I know if my destiny is in God, he is going to give me every desire, every hope that he knows is best for me.
Yes.
Right.
Instead of what I want.
Yes.
Okay.
He's made us desperate.
Yes.
Oh.
We have become desperate.
Oh. For the presence. For his presence.
Yes.
And I just think, I thank God.
Yes.
I thank God he got us to this place.
Yes.
And we had to go the way we went.
All right.
So he could make us into what we are.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. And I just want to praise God for the opportunity to be used by God.
Amen.
And I can tell you, if we hadn't gone through what we had been through, we wouldn't have been able to minister like we are. And you know, also, God is showing us it's all about love.
All about.
Even God has dealt with me so strongly about people that have done things against us, and that he has shown me how to love my enemy.
All
and
right.
It's easy to say that.
All right.
But it's not easy to do that.
Amen.
So we're to pray for our enemies.
Thank
and I'm
you,
not
Lord.
Talking about just praying, oh God, oh Lord bless them. I'm talking about praying for their children.
All
praying
right.
for their job.
Ooh,
praying
today.
For their life.
Thank you,
praying
Lord.
For their relationships. Praying that God mend them to heal their broken heart.
Yes.
Because the reason why they're hurting people is because they're hurting themselves.
Yes.
And so when you start praying for your enemy, really praying for your enemy, and really digging in, I'm telling you, God will change you.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
And then you can love your enemy.
Yes.
Because once you start praying for that enemy, after so long, you love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't intimately pray for somebody and not love that person. You just
changes you.
It makes them part of your family.
Yeah.
Okay? And unfortunately, most of the time, Tim and I have been hurt, it's been people in the church.
Uh-oh.
And I hate to say that.
Oh, you're meddling.
But it, you know, it happens.
Yeah.
And it's because we have such high expectations from people that are in the church.
Just keep it
and,
real.
And but God is good. And listen, and I'm sure I've hurt somebody. Okay, let's be real. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I'm not on purpose. I would never go out and on purpose try to hurt somebody. But I know I've probably said something that's hurt somebody. I've probably done something that's hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And thank God for the grace of God.
Grace.
The grace of God on me. But and the grace of God that I am giving, because those that show mercy shall receive mercy.
Yeah.
But God has been so faithful, so true to Tim and I, to bring us to where we are, and I'm just so thankful for everything God's doing in our life, has done in our life, and is getting ready to do. We have such an awesome expectation because we know it's done. We're just a point in our life where we know God is He is all in all.
Yes.
He's everything we need, and He is it in our life.
Yes.
And He is bringing forth every single thing to pass in Jesus' name. And we know it's done, and we believe God, and it's showing, and the Spirit of God has been so strong on us in the things that we've been praying for lately and doing lately that I just thank God for it, and I know that it couldn't have happened without going through, like Tim said, that he's taken us through things.
You know, when you start saying that, and you were saying something, you said a lot of things, but you were commenting on what she said before she started the actual statement. But what I heard you guys saying is, and you know, we want you to hear us today. God is faithful.
That's it. He's faithful.
Faithful. Marla shared with you last week that faithful is a noun. And it means deserving complete trust.
Yes.
You know what? It's love. It's fellowship. Mm-hmm. And God is, as she says, shows loyalty. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is so loyal to us.
Having that firm resistance to desert or abandon us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, He resists the proud, but He giveth grace to a Tim and a Penny, or a Marla and a Jerry, because we said, you know what, God, I want you and nothing else. This is what I'm driving to. I was driving to a place, you know. If we understand the faithfulness of God and His truth, and His truth, how true He is, then we have no problem in being faithful. I'm going to say that again.
No problem.
If we understand God's faithfulness toward us, because He's our Father, it helps us to understand how to be faithful to others.
Amen.
Yes.
Or to one another.
Yes.
And that's why we're on Faithful and True. We're not going to talk about our faithfulness today.
No.
We're going to talk about His faithfulness.
Amen. Yes.
One songwriter said, His faithfulness, every morning His mercies are fresh. And a new Jeremiah said that in his writing. He said, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for His compassion faileth not." But he said, "Every morning it's a fresh and a new." He says,
"Great
is Thy faithfulness."
Amen.
And so when we understand that same faithfulness that our Father demonstrates to us has been imparted to us, then a man won't go out on his wife. A wife won't go out on her husband. She won't betray the covenant that has been set before them. The children will respect their parents.
Yes.
The family unit can be one, and people will understand that it is about being faithful to one another. It's about being true to one another. And that's what I believe what we've suffered in the body of Christ, is that we have not understood the faithfulness of God. We've taken it for granted, and we have not embraced it. We have not become intimate with it.
All right.
And to know that same faithfulness has been imparted to us. So it is a slap in his face when we began to drift away from our faithfulness, first toward him, and secondly, towards others.
There you go, toward one another.
Yes. So the Apostle Paul goes on to say in the book of in the Thessalonian book, and I just want to say this today as we depart from First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, when he talks about there's no testing or trial that it comes to come to take you, that is such as a common demand. Can I tell you something? Everybody is going through something.
Everybody.
Yes.
And I don't care what type of facade everybody they put on. I don't care what type of mask they're wearing. Mm-hmm. And I don't care how good they may look to you. You said that they're not having a problem in their life. Some of the people who look the greatest to you are the ones who will go jump off a bridge, are the ones who will go commit suicide, and you never have an idea of anything of what they're dealing with. But we came to tell you today that you don't have to go through alone. You don't have to go through by yourself, because the Lord is faithful.
Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's view that. And verse 24, the Apostle Paul begins to address the church at Thessalonica. And he begins to share with them a very important statement here. Would you read that for me, please?
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
He what?
He'll do what?
I like Jim. He said he'll do it. Whatever it is, he will do it. Whatever you need him to do for you. It's not about, well, you know, my problem is too big for God, and I don't know if he can handle this or not. I don't know. I might have to fix this myself. Well, friend, if you could have fixed it, or if you could have made it better, you would have done that already. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't make it happen. But he will. Read it again.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
You know, I believe one of the major problems that we're facing, as I said earlier, in the body of Christ, is that we've been called to do a thing in the body of Christ. And somebody says, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, if Penny just said it and Tim just said it so eloquently, they said, you know, we've emptied ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again.
Yes, sir.
They said we
emptied
ourselves
of
our pollution, our way of doing things,
our agenda.
How we want this to be. They said we emptied ourselves, and we said, okay, God, now we moved ourselves out the way, invade us.
Yeah.
In other words, come in and be with us and do it. You know, you young people out there, you like to do it, whatever that means, right? Okay, whatever. And old ones, too.
And a lot of you know, because you know what Nike used to say, and they still say it, just do it.
Just do it. Now, some of you, I'm not talking about the wrong do it.
There
I'm not talking about drinking and smoking and partying. I'm not talking about that do it. I know that you said, yes, you were. You were. Yeah, well, I was. I'm talking to some of you guys. I know you feel like, yeah, you know, that's you. You just want to do it. Do the right thing.
Right.
God said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in you.
Yes, Lord.
He said, I called you.
Yes, Lord.
Watch what I'm getting ready to say again. He said, I called you, and I'll do it in you. Whatever the do it is. And I can feel a shout coming on in this studio today.
Man.
I can feel a real good shot. But we got a minute left. We're getting ready to come down. And I told my friends, they said, we got to do it an hour. I said, you'll see why once we get into it, an hour, like, boom, it's going to leave. We got 57 seconds. Tell us what, give us a word of prayer and a goodbye as we leave the podcast today.
Yes.
Jim and Penny.
Yes, Lord. We just pray right now you'll be with each and every person that's is going through something, Lord. And I pray, God, that they will empty themselves and make room for you. Some of you, the Lord can't even get in because you got too much stuff.
Yes.
And Lord, just lay the stuff down. Trust me, there's nothing you're going to let go of that's worth hanging on for the Spirit of God to come into your life. And we just pray, God, that you will invade wherever these people are, whoever's listening, you, the person you're listening to me right now, just relax. And let the Holy Spirit come in and draw you and just draw you into His presence. And when you once you get into His presence, you'll find everything you need is in His presence. Whatever you need, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, our time is up. Sorry, we be back with us next week on another podcast where Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And remember that the good news is that the bad news.